Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey man, you done plowing your field yet, or you still got a little more plowing to do?
When the work's never done, right? You're always got some more
it's
plowing
never
to
done.
Do. That's the sort of the beauty of plowing.
Hey, you want to talk a little goss?
Oh, bitch, dish. Why not? Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Okay. First up, you know the fishmonger's wife?
Yeah.
Oh, word is that she has a little side piece. Isn't that wild?
You can tell. You can tell. You see them together.
You see the fishmonger. It's like, why is he with
it doesn't
her?
Make any
like,
sense.
What's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. Let's see. Also, I heard that, the like all the grain we got that storehouse where all the grain is in. I hear the fishmonger's been going in there to fucking pound off.
The fishmonger
like
is
Jack Shack. That's part of the reason there's the fission between
if
the
they
two
would
of
just
them.
Talk
you know,
about
that's part
it.
Of the reason they
obviously
exactly.
Her needs aren't being met. That's why she has this side piece. Meanwhile, he can't fulfill the needs because he's fucking pounding off in the shed.
He's using all of his energy. And also in the grain shed, everyone uses that grain.
That's where all the grain comes from.
Oh, also, Diablo's back?
I was hoping that I was going to be able to get to tell you this, but you know.
I heard that Diablo's back.
I heard that the reason the fishmonger has been pounding off in the grain shack is because Diablo is like making him do it. And that's kind of the fucked up thing that like it kind of like we're
oh
like kind
God,
of
he's
joking.
Been, like possessed by some sort of demon.
We're like joking that he's back and that's like kind of funny that he's back, but actually it's like really fucked up because, you know, these things, you know, shit rolls downhill, right? He's jacking off now so much. Now his marriage is ruined. It's a whole thing. But, you know, maybe the wife is happier, so it's, like, tough to say if actually it is worse. She's getting railed.
I just can't believe Diablo's back. I thought we got rid of him, like, 50 years ago. I was like, okay, and now he's back. And we're just starting to just finish rebuilding, and now Diablo's here to muck everything up.
What frustrates me about him, and I can say this to you because I think, you know, we're cool. You're not going to go ahead and say this to him.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, 100%.
If you're just going to come back every time we get rid of you, just stay, dude. Don't fucking, you know, come over here, get your fucking, you know, ass, you know, ripped apart, get walloped by us. We're always the ones having to do this. And then come back. Just stick around.
Yeah, you think like the Archangel Tyriel puts him back into his place. Like, one, like he'd just eventually be like, hey, I just give up. Just, you know, you don't need to look for the key to hell and try to unleash your minions back to scour a sanctuary. Just fucking let
us be. It's embarrassing. He just wants attention. And it's just, you know, it's tough
he
to
does.
See.
That's what it is. It's like a compulsion. It's like pathological. Like he needs the attention. And you know, I thought we had him. You remember a few years ago when the county barrister had those charges of obstruction of justice he brought up on Diablo? And I was like, oh my God, we're gonna get him. Because remember, he stole all those scrolls. He was keeping all those scrolls
in
hell.
It was a trial of the century. I remember. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, they're gonna lock him up. He's fucking done. And no, he fucking wriggles his way out of it. I don't know how he does it.
I'm just trying to think if there's any more gossip. Oh, God. The biggest thing is that Diablo's back. And that's sort of like the main
Diablo's
thing.
Back. Oh, my family got killed by skeletons.
What?
And fucking skeletons came in with like a... with crossbows, just fucking murked them all.
While we're talking, my wife, she left this big, it's like big tree.
Uh-huh.
Came in and kicked my ass.
It's tough when you try. You can't. It's just, you know, there's a reason there's weight classes in combat sports. Yeah, you can't. You just can't go up against one of those big tree creatures. Mano a mano.
I tried hitting it.
Yeah, no, you're just going to get a fistful of splinters.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Cried right in front of him. Fuck my wife.
Anyway, I'm gonna town portal over to the graveyard to visit my family's tomb. So
I'm gonna.
Nice talking with you.
Yeah, nice talking to you too. I'm gonna go to the. I guess this grain shack.
Okay. All right. We socket skulls into amulets and explode corpses to make more corpses as we discuss Diablo 4 this week on Get Played. Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played. I'm Nick Weiger, along with my co-host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back to Get Played. Heather Ann Campbell is, I was out last week, she's out this week. Ship's passing in the night. But we'll all be back next week to discuss this month's We Play You Play Street Fighter VI. That's coming a week from today on Monday, June 26th. And we also have a special guest for that, Matt.
Yeah, a very special guest. And let's just say you're going to want to hear this one. You're going to want to hear all their... Our guest today is also special, I got to say.
Hey, man, that's absolutely right.
I do want to...
Just as you said that, our guest turned off his camera.
Special? Fuck you.
Did he turn his camera off because he's crying?
I don't know how to handle compliments based on my childhood.
For all our listeners out there, we do want to hear your thoughts on SF6. Send them into our Discord. We'll read some of those next week. And Matt, I want to hear your thoughts before we intro our guest on a game that you possibly talked about last week. I was going to listen to the episode, but then you and Heather both told me not to.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. But on last week's episode, I'm not sure if you talked about this or not, but people think of Matt, they think of, you know, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Kingdom Hearts, Pokemon, but there's another franchise on your Mount Rushmore, Prince of Persia. And
dude,
Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown was announced, and I think it looks pretty sick.
You think I didn't fucking talk about that last week, dude? What the hell's the matter with you? Of course I talked about it. I said they fucking, because they announced it at Summer Game Fest.
Yes.
And it's a new... Prince of Persia style, or your Prince of Persia game in the 2D platformer style, and I'm very excited about it. Every other announcement after that, I was not excited. I was just like, okay, whatever.
That was honestly a standout for me. I watched the trailer, and then I also watched a gameplay like talkover video, and just sort of it. I really like the aesthetic. I really like that sort of 2.5D engine they got there, and just like that kind of gameplay. I mean, I play those sorts of games so much, like a platformer, a Metroidvania, a platform game that's 2D that also has a lot of like exploration and light RPG elements. Like, I love that shit. So that's a day one for me, especially coming in January 2024. First game of the year. Why not?
Yeah. I'm very excited about that.
Just that Ubisoft is like, hey, let's make this. Let's do this with this IP, because they seem so committed to doing one type of game.
Yeah.
And so for them to actually make this, I don't know. It that looks sick as hell.
I do think it's funny that they couldn't quite get their heads around the Sands of Time remake, but they're like, here's this other thing. This is
we made a new game while we were working on the remake.
Sorry.
But we delayed that for the fourth time. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Our guest today, from his podcast High and Mighty and Action Boys, Returning to the show, John Gabrus is here. Hi, Gabrus.
Yo, what up, fam? Thanks for having me back.
Hell
I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to come back on the show, been feeling under gamed personally, but I'm just like not getting as I'm like 6 months behind everyone, maybe 9 months behind everyone. Mm-hmm. But this is a game I've been looking forward to. It kind of surprised me that it's coming out. And then when you asked me to come on, I just like had an excuse to pump some hours in.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's been feeling fucking good, man. So thank you so much. This
also
means a lot.
Oh, my God.
Anytime you want to come on, just tell us.
Yeah, we'll have you on anytime.
I'll tell somebody else that they have to fucking kick rocks. I don't care.
Yeah.
He'll tell me. I'll be like, all right, I'll get the fuck out of here. I'm like,
can you retroactively go back 9 months? I just beat God of War Ragnarok. like Disney's doing with French Connection and just replace the entire episode, but don't tell listeners.
But yeah, here's a new episode that we didn't do a God of War specific one, and also it came out months ago. You missed it, actually. Gaslight the entire audience. This was our best episode.
Gabrus, the game we're going to talk about today, I think, kind of slots into an episode of your podcast, High and Mighty, I guested on back on your 420 special. Ostensibly, we were supposed to talk about like marijuana and video games, getting into that flow state while high, while gaming. I think like every time I guest on your podcast, we instead just end up talking about like having diarrhea all the time.
But to be fair, same when I guest on your podcast.
And you know what?
And don't you worry, listeners. You could play the Nintendo Switch with diarrhea, so get pumped.
I'm curious. We'll talk about Diablo 4 in a little bit more depth in a second, but like, is this like the kind of game that you play while high?
Yes. The thing that's fun is almost all games are. I will say like slow moving games to a lesser degree, like, you know, I love a Civ and shit like that.
Oh, but yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
A little less fun when stoned. These like kind of active games and getting off the computer and onto the PlayStation for me, because I was mostly playing PC ported games or Steam games on my iMac for so long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in the pandemic, got myself a PS5. And that was I got myself a PS4 mm-hmm. for the first time. And I hadn't been on PS since PS2. So I was really fucking into it and then upgraded to 5. So playing, smoking weed and playing games, not on your computer where you could easily open up a porn tab or start messaging someone or like realizing you got to draft like a work email or something.
Yeah.
And for me, unfortunately, I'm apartment life. Both me and my partner work from home. So my gaming system is about a foot and a half to the right of where I'm currently sitting. So huge separation. But going to the couch with the controller is just a vibe shift that, you know, pairs well with a volcano or a bong or something like that.
100%. No, I'm like, you can see my tableau on the webcam, but like I'm standing at my desk right now. Behind me is the couch that I sit on. And then on the wall there is my gaming TV. So I get the exact same setup. I just like move 90 degrees, basically. Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
It was right there. Yeah.
But
my second monitor from when I'm working and watching something on my second monitor is my PlayStation monitor.
It's amazing what a reset that does to you to just like change your orientation in the same room. Cause like I go from like stress to like relaxation and I'm moving just about, you know, 4 feet.
It's so crazy. Like the detachment you feel from work, especially since Zooming podcasts and stuff is all here.
It
does feel like that. And getting a break from, it's so funny where I'm like, I got to get off this screen and get onto a different one is like kind of like my entire vibe. I got to get off my phone and put on a movie. Like that's constantly what but in 2023 with my brain being broken like this, like a movie is the new book. Like, you know, if
yeah,
I sit
sure.
down and watch a full movie, that's like trying to read a book to me. Like it's like with phones and life stress and high blood pressure, you know, all that shit.
Oh yeah. No, I keep my phone out of reach. Like, and I try to do it both when I'm gaming and when I'm watching a movie, just like, I'm going to totally engage with this piece of media right now. And it like, I don't know. I find like I relax more and it's better for my brain. You mentioned movies and it's been a while since you've been on. And I did want to ask you about a movie because I know you've played a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. You're like the like one of the coolest guys I know, but you're also like have a lot of like nerd culture in your background, and I know you played a lot of D&D. Did you like Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves?
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Me too.
I knew I was going into like a kid's movie, you know, like,
yeah.
And it's funny how like that's like a refreshing take on IP for some reason, even though it's practically Guardians of the Galaxy with like dungeons instead of outer space. Mm-hmm. But I love Chris Pine. And
yeah, yes.
The other thing that this movie did that no other movie does nowadays is not everyone was quippy. Just Chris Pine. Other funny stuff happened, but it came from being like a frightened sorcerer or a stoic barbarian.
Sure.
And so I dug it for that reason. I dug it for like the, it got into some shit. We met some halflings. We saw a mimic. We saw a fucking gelatinous cube, a displacer beast, like a lot of cool shit like that. And in my head, I'm picturing the EU being rather fucking cool because we don't necessarily have to follow these characters. It's about like the land that they all exist in instead, like Forgotten Realms or mm-hmm. whatever. I think they're going off Forgotten Realms because they reference Elminster. So that right. puts them in Forgotten Realms, which is kind of a beautiful universe. And if we get more movies in that universe, but maybe we meet Chris Pine in some interaction or something like that. It's a hopefully the next D&D movie, I guess is what I'm saying, is not this cast in a different, that'll bum me out. I hope that what they learn from this is like, stealing from the campaign idea, like this is a module, let's do another module in the world.
Yeah, it definitely felt like you were watching like a campaign come to life. Like I would not be, I mean, I kind of fully expect them to make more movies with the same cast, but I hope that mm-hmm. like you were saying, I hope they do expand it, because again, it's such a lush world that you can do whatever in. But also it, like a big part of what I liked about it is that it, like what you're talking about, the quipping, like it wasn't taking the piss out of the IP. You know what I mean? It wasn't like making fun of Dungeons and Dragons. We didn't have, you know, a bunch of fourth wall breaking jokes or stuff about like, you know, like all of them being nerds or something yeah, like
let's
that.
Roll it, again, boys.
Or exactly. Whatever, you know? Yeah. Yeah. No, it took the world, the reality they inhabited seriously. And I don't know. I mean that I was just like, I think we talked after I saw it. I was like, I hope they make 10 of these.
Yeah, I'm into it. Matt, you're a dork, but you're not really like a D&D dork.
I'm
right?
not like a good one. Yeah, I'm kind of like
No, you're like a young dork.
Yeah.
Like, you're not into no paper and pencils for you. You're like all
get that shit away
digital.
From me. I'll cut myself on the paper. No, I've played some D&D. I have yet to see the movie, though, and I don't know why.
Oh.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on Paramount Plus now. I could watch it at home.
Check oh, shit. I'm going to rewatch it
yeah,
for free. I wouldn't pay to rewatch it, but
no,
I will watch
no,
it for
yeah,
free.
You shouldn't
yeah.
pay for
I
it.
Guess it's not free. It's $6 a month or whatever.
Well, if you have
anything to see Mayor of Kingstown.
And you need to watch the Family Stallone, too. You got to watch
all. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I got FUBAR, the Family Stallone, and an Arnold doc all on streaming right now, and I couldn't give a rat's ass. It's so funny. It's like what I begged for as a child, and now it's just
right.
like, ugh.
I need
fine.
To see the family dynamic. Of Sly Stallone.
Yeah, it's funny when you love someone, you're like, I'll see anything they do, and you're like, wait, no, never mind.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to see him like not know how fucking remote works or something. But no, I should watch the movie. It's been on my list to watch. It's been on home video, or you know, where you can watch it at home for a while. So it's next in the queue. But I'm glad it's good. I would like to see them make more things like that because, you know, it is just like, you know, if there's like it can be five Marvel movies a year. Well, one of them can be a D&D movie. And that's fine.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like throw that on the fucking, we got two Star Wars, two Marvels, and a D&D movie this year. Fuck it. Just like rat. And like this is so desperate. I'm not even like begging for like auteurs to make like singular ideas. I'm just like, oh, cool, fresh IP.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer.
People like that, like Christopher Nolan's always going to make an Oppenheimer. He's always going to do something that's like his own sort of singular thing. Wes Anderson's always going to make something cute. Yeah. You know,
are those the two guys who can still do that? I mean, like,
I think
it's
they're
like,
truly,
yeah.
they're the two white guys that are allowed to make something on their own that aren't a property. But, you know, a couple years from now, maybe Wes gets, you know, needs a couple, is strapped for cash and he makes the Grand Budapest Hotel 2 or something.
I saw, like, some headline that like WB is trying to woo Nolan back. Warner Brothers trying to woo Nolan back, get like movies again. And like a dozen of the comments or responses like, yes, we need another Dark Knight. And I'm like,
shut up.
No, you're asking for the wrong thing. Like, oh, we got legendary sushi chef back in. It's like, oh, sick. I want a fucking steak. It's like, no, you fucking idiot.
But that headline is also confusing to me because I guess I just don't understand the particulars, but they're wooing him back with this check, this residual check for like seven figures or something. And I was like, well, that's his money. that's not like a big,
well,
like
he got a
trick.
Little boned with his Tenant residuals because it didn't do movie ticket numbers, which is where like the real big back end sharing hits. So by it going to streaming, it kind of fucked him. And he was like, I'm working with Warner Brothers, like the fucking WB, and you guys are figured out a way to just not put this in the movies. And he's like one of the few guys making theater movies anymore.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank God for Tom Cruise. That's all I'm going to say.
Tom Cruise, Scorsese, even though Scorsese, his last movie was his newest movie is Apple and his last movie is Netflix. It does feel funny that he's like, give me $200 million. I'll give you a 3.5 hour movie for your service, but you got to put it in the theater too. He's like found a way to like get Silicon Valley to finance him and fucking De Niro fucking around in old man makeup.
He's he's done with the one for you, one for me. He's like, all for me. You make it, baby.
Yeah. All for me. I tell you, it's good. You get to put it on your dumb computer. Yeah. Let's go.
And I hate Marvel movies.
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless. The vibes are right. And the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Well, look, I have one more question for you, Gabrus, and this also is a question I'll put to you, Matt, which is, what are you playing?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Gabrus, you mentioned earlier you played some God of War Ragnarok. You're late to the party on that. I think we were also texting that you played some Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The first one.
I was going to jump off after God of War. I was the next game I was going to kick off was the Jedi games, but I guess there's two.
Yeah.
And someone told me you should play through the first one because the stories are connected. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's just the nerd thing I need to hear to activate my completionist like spectrum mind. I'm like, of course, I would never be able to enjoy the second one without playing the first one. And so I've been trying to get through that. But my buddy reached out and was like, yo, for like an extra $30, you can have Diablo 4 now. And I was like, oh, and I just was like, I was waiting for whatever the date was, but they're like, as of the 6th, you can have it, or whatever day I got it, you can get it like early for a hundo instead of end. You know, if you're going to live in a tiny apartment and own nothing and have no savings and no retirement, what are you going to do with a few extra bucks? Get Diablo
yeah, just get
5
it early.
Days early.
Yeah.
So I've been on that. And then I also, along the same lines, wanted to play the new Zelda, but I gave up on Breath of the Wild 5 minutes in on my Switch. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I'll do that. And so I downloaded Breath of the Wild again. I was going to start playing that on the Switch. But when I got on I went to go use it when I was traveling and it needed
diarrhea.
To be updated. Yeah, I had diarrhea on the plane. I didn't get up to go to the bathroom. Comfort Plus, they just deal with it. People are, you know, I was wearing a mask. Didn't bother me too much.
Right. You're fine.
But it couldn't get updated. So I was like, fuck. And then I just played this other game I love on the Switch. And then it got me accidentally hooked on it again. I've been playing Monster Train a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I've heard a lot about Monster Train. And I've had people recommend it to me because...
Because you like Slay the Spire?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
people
how
that'd
I
be like this.
It.
Play this. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly... Because I loved Slay the Spire and got really addicted and accidentally had it on like 3 different platforms. Like I had it on Steam, on my Switch. And then I was like, I got to play this on PlayStation. You know, I was like getting it everywhere.
Yeah.
And someone was like, oh, you should try Monster Train. And Monster Train is fun in a similar way, just with like cooler art, I guess, cooler character design.
I got to try it out at some point. I mean, I'm just so overwhelmed because there have been so many new releases, but I'm sure it would be like extremely my shit. Yeah, I think you can. Boy, Tears of the Kingdom is a good one because what you were just talking about of like, oh, I should play the first one before I play the second one. And I was like, because... I'll just go into, I've been playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom in addition to Diablo 4, and I played it all handheld, all on planes and trains while I was touring this past weekend, and which I don't normally love doing for a game of this kind of scope, but it does work. I mean, clearly they've figured out how to make it work on handheld, and especially because I get the OLED Switch, so the screen is really pretty. So it, you know, I've been having a lot of fun with it. I'm not sure if like how I would where I land yet, Matt. Maybe you have a take on this because I know you've played more of this game than I have, but. I'm not sure where I land on. Do you just jump into Tears of the Kingdom or do you play Breath of the Wild first? Because it is in a lot of ways like such an iterative game. And I think it's like a much, you know, it's a more refined game by virtue of a lot more development by virtue of it being the second one. I think you're probably fine to just go straight to Tears of the Kingdom if you're intrigued.
I would tend to agree with that, too, specifically because of the tutorial part of the game, I think, is some of the best video game onboarding I've seen in years. Like it,
yes.
You get every skill you could possibly need for the entire game in the first like hour or something, and from there it's just like, all right, go nuts, like go.
Oh, cool!
So you get to experience your abilities from very early on, and it's not like. You're going around the entire map or something, and you don't have one of the abilities yet. You're like, oh, I got to come back when I have that. You just have everything, and you can just go. So I would definitely make a case for starting with Tears if you want to like be in on the
The conversation
on the conversation, yeah, then zeitgeist. Yeah,
right.
But otherwise, you know, Breath of the Wild also really really great.
Would I enjoy Breath of the Wild? If I play Tears of the Kingdom for 80 hours or whatever, and then I'm like, shit, I should go play Breath of the Wild, or would it feel like a little wonky or like not as rich?
I don't know if it would feel wonky, but I think for me, I played Breath of the Wild. It took me 3 times to like latch on to Breath of the Wild, and then I finally went all the way through it. I think it would feel like a very slight step backwards, not a complete step, maybe, like, because like some of the stuff you have different abilities, and so it's just a little bit different. The world feels a little more filled in the second game, so it might feel a little, I don't know if it would feel dated necessarily, but it would feel different, I would say, a little bit.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess what I would say is, if you start playing Breath of the Wild and it hooks you, then just keep playing that. Yeah. But if you're like kind of like bounce off of it, I wouldn't say that's a reason to not play Tears of the Kingdom.
That's so great advice. That's what I was wondering. Cool. Because I didn't get hooked by Breath of the Wild. I found it very difficult to like control, or like I got like jammed up like a half hour into the game. Like I wasn't able to do almost anything. And I was like, this sucks. And then I found it really frustrating. And I was like, I think what I need to do is get my, I usually play handheld. I should probably get it up on the screen and mess with it there.
And I think that a big difference, that this might be the thing that brings you over to Tears. I felt like maybe comparatively,
this might be the thing that brings you to Tears.
This might make you fucking stop right now. I think that like some of the solutions to problems in Breath of the Wild, they're more limited. Wouldn't you say, Nick? And then in Tears, you can kind of solve anything any way you want, and they encourage that. They're like, go nuts, think outside the box.
Yeah, I feel, you know, I've probably said it too many times, but it's more of a problems, not puzzles approach,
yes,
where it's just like, hey, you have to get from A to B, and however you want to do it, figure it out. You have to get this sphere into this receptacle, but you don't have to do it by a certain prescribed method. If you figure out some other way to do it, that's fine. So yeah, I definitely have played this game. I've definitely have played it in like, I feel like kind of clumsy, shitty ways and still come out on top and still felt like a genius.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the fun of it, part of the fun of the, you know, the building mechanics, and then also the various like environmental manipulation mechanics, like rewinding time that you have at your disposal.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Where like in Breath of the Wild, you could sort of still do that, but you'd have to do it more intentionally, I think. Whereas in Tears, it's like you can kind of do stuff on accident sometimes too, and be like, oh, look at that. Like I did it. I didn't think that would work.
Yeah, that definitely was not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
But fucking whatever.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll say I rolled credits on Tears of the Kingdom.
Wow.
Whoa.
What an alpha.
Yeah.
Congrats, bro.
Thank you very much.
Buddy.
No, it was.
Next up, getting laid.
Yeah. I think I might try to give that a spin, see what that's like. I honestly couldn't believe that I did it. I put a lot of time into it. I'm somewhere in the 95 to 100 hours in that game already. And I just got really focused on doing the main quests, and I was like, I think I did, for just my own peace of mind, I need to just put an end to this, like the story,
sure, yeah,
so I can play like Diablo and Street Fighter 6 and not feel bad about taking time away from Zelda anymore. And I also got to get back into Jedi Survivor. I was like halfway through that when Tears came out. But right now I'm still playing it. Like I beat the final boss, and I was like, okay, it's, you know, it spits you back out to right before that, basically. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go around and get a bunch of shrines, do a bunch of shrines and do all that stuff, do side quests.
Are you a 100%er or a 3%er? Do you believe the government should stay out of your tax?
I think.
Or are you a 1%er, you rich little fuck?
No, certainly not a 1%er. As far as milk goes, 2% for sure. I'm not a 100%er at all. But this game, I'm not ready to be completely done with it. I just needed the urgency to finish the story to be off my back a little bit.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I see what you're saying.
It's like it was gnawing at me. I would be playing it so much that I was like not really doing. I mean, I put 100 hours in it. I wasn't doing.
It's
a lot
been out
else.
At this point for a couple of weeks.
Yes, exactly. So I was like, yes. I'm just, this is all. Well, the first day that I had it, I lost a day to it. I just like went and played it until it got dark and my eyes hurt. So it's good. It's good to have that sort of be done. And I can just kind of move on and play different games. It was nice to put in, like, I returned to the Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge game the other day.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was like, oh, I forgot that I loved this. This is so good. And, it's, you know, that's just a quick little, like, playing that a little bit. So I got a lot of fingers and a lot of pies right now. I'm back at it. I'm back on my bullshit.
Can I ask a spoiler-free question about the end game? Did you think like it was, first off, did you do like, felt like you did, I'm not sure if structurally it parallels what's in Breath of the Wild, but did you feel like you did all the main stuff before you got to the end game? And then also, like, what was it from a challenge perspective?
So I did feel like I did that, because there are a couple of things. There's honestly a few things on the way to my end game that I wish I'd done differently. And it was basically just like there's certain story points that you get throughout the map in one of the main quests that are, you can get out of order. And I got a lot of those before I was getting ready for the end game. So I had a lot of information early on about things that were happening that I was like, I shouldn't know this yet. Everybody else is like asking me, oh, I wonder what's going on with this. And I'm like, well, I fucking know. I know. I'm just not saying anything, I guess. In my game, Link knows everything. It's just like, I'll let you guys figure it out. I'm not telling you a goddamn thing. So that's a regret of the playthrough, I would say. But I did feel by the time I was at the end that I was sufficiently prepared. You know, I had the Master Sword. I had all the main sort of story beats in my head ready to go. And then when I saw the ending, I was like, I need some distance from it, I think. But I think it's like an all-time game. Maybe somewhere in my top three.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, it was such a gorgeous experience. And it's definitely recency bias. I mean, you know, ask me again in a year what I think about it. But I've never done that. I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable.
And which two Pokemon games fill out the rest of your top three?
It's Pokemon Gold and Silver, same generation.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
You fool. You know it's.
I've lost many a day.
Yeah.
Okay. Picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about a game that, well, maybe a game from this franchise might be in my all-timers, the second iteration. We're on now, though, Diablo 4, which was released on June 6th of 2023 officially, though you could do the pre-release. I'll say this. I thankfully could afford the pre-release, and also I could justify it as being for work, and I still couldn't I couldn't bring myself to spend an extra $20 or $30 to play the game for an extra weekend.
No.
Even though it would have made my life a lot easier and I probably would have had fun doing it, I still was just like, I can't fucking do that for like an extra, an extra 10 hours of gameplay early. I personally couldn't bring myself to do that.
Or two cups of coffee.
I didn't have enough.
Thank you, Matt.
I didn't have enough time in hindsight to justify it. Like, I put maybe 4 hours in before the actual release date came, and I'm like, did I pay $30 extra to get my a rogue to level 6? Like, what a fucking idiot. I just got so giddy. I was like, oh, you can get it now? Why don't I have it? And I just blew it.
It probably would have made my life easier, though, for me to do what you did, because I was, as I mentioned earlier, I was out of town. Basically, I left town on June 6th when it officially released. So I was like, fuck, I'm not going to have enough time to actually play this game. I realized too late. Then I got back in town. And, you know, when God closes a door, he opens a window. I got fucking sick. And so I was like, I don't have enough time to play this game, but you know what? I'm back in town and I'm sick. I got nothing else to do but play this game.
Yeah.
So I've binged the shit out of it over the past couple of days, and I got a character to level 36, so I feel like I have
Holy shit, a pretty decent...
Yeah,
no, I was kind of... sort of watching your progress yesterday, like, because I was online for a little bit while you were playing it on and off, and I, like, the two times that I checked, I was like, oh, he's, like, level 23. He's probably not going to catch up to me. And then later on in the day, I was like, oh, Nick's been playing. Like, he's like...
so, yeah, I've been kind of blazing through this, and I've gotten a, you know, I feel like a good sense of this game, developed by Blizzard Team 3, which is Nervine with support from Blizzard Albany, formerly Vicarious Visions, who did the Diablo 2 Resurrected remaster that we all really like. Directed by Joe Shelley, Sebastian Stepien, and Luis Barriga, who left the studio in 2021. Let's just talk Diablo generally first. Matt, I know you got into the franchise with Diablo 3 and you're a big fan of that. And Gabrus, I know you played some Diablo 3 as well. But let's just give a baseline for everyone. I mean, I'll start. I started with Diablo 1 on PC. I played Diablo. I played them all. This is probably one of my most played franchises, period. I will qualify that by saying that the bulk of those hours came with Diablo 2. That's the one I played the most. But I've always been a fan of this franchise, and even on its even with its lulls, even with like the Diablo 3 launch, I've always still kind of been a defender and a fanboy of just these games in general. Matt, how about you?
Yeah, I was always interested in it. I didn't grow up playing games on PC, so I never had it. But when I had my Switch, I saw that. You could play, you know, Diablo 3 on there. I was like, oh, okay, I'll check in on this. And I remember looking up if it was, like, good on there. Like, if it was, like, is Diablo 3 good? And the consensus was it wasn't at first, and then it became good. Like, so I jumped in when they fixed everything. And the Switch port of it is fantastic. It's so good. I really loved that. I played through all of that. And I never squatted up with anybody though, because I didn't know anybody. Well, by the time I started playing it, everybody was kind of done with it, and nobody was playing it on Switch. So I never squatted up with anybody. But then when the 2 remaster came out, we squatted up a couple times. That was really fun. And I was like, oh, I see like the power of like doing this with somebody else. It's great. It's like a lot of fun.
Yes.
And then when Immortal came out, and I think we did the episode around then, we did a previous episode where we talked about Diablo a little bit. I remember thinking it sucks that I do sort of like this, but it feels bad. Like, it feels bad because of the microtransactions within the game and just like the way they handled that whole thing in general. So I remember putting that down, but feeling like it played well. And then I was excited for this one, been keeping up with the betas, and it's been fun. I'm bouncing back and forth between my PC and Steam Deck, because I have it installed on my Steam Deck as well, and it's fantastic. Same game. Ooh. Installed two different places.
And because of the compatibility, it's your same character, right?
It's like, my same character. Yeah. So I'm not so missing rad. It's like when I want to not be sitting at my desk, like we were talking about earlier, and I wanted to sit a foot away from where my desk is, I can play on my Steam Deck instead.
I love like listeners who live anywhere but New York and LA are like, just fucking move and have a fucking like,
yeah.
These guys, like, you know, guys like, people are like, I make 84 grand a year and I have an entire room for gaming in my house.
You're like,
you
know, like,
you don't have to be, I live in Columbus, Ohio, and I have a fucking floor of my apartment for gaming.
I have a five person family.
Yeah.
Right. A three story house. Must be nice. Sorry, I want to be a coastal elite, okay?
Yeah. Sorry, I like to have 7 Thai restaurants to choose from.
Yeah.
There you go.
Honestly, that is pretty much the main reason to move to the city is like, okay, I want a different Thai restaurant tonight because they do this better.
And not a worse one, an equally as good one or better than the one I was going to get. They're all good.
It's great. It's great out here.
I fucking love it. It's SoCal. Yeah. If the sun doesn't come out soon, I will blow my head off. But
we have had a stretch of June gloom all month long so far.
Yeah,
it's
plus like the rainiest winter in history. We've been kind of, which is great for us indoor kids. But yeah. I'm a beach boy as well.
I've been saying
100%.
Where do we live? Tristram?
Oh.
Thank you, Matt.
Shit. Stay a while.
Gabrus, when did you hop in with Diablo?
D1, Mamacita.
Wow.
I've been a Blizzard head from the jump, from W1 through D1 through WoW. I've played everything that came out by Blizzard. Was it StarCraft 1 and 2, of course.
Right.
I've loved all of their games since I was a kid. I grew up playing PC games. I grew up playing Nintendo at my house. Then we got PlayStation. And then when I got to like sixth grade, I moved towns and made friends with these two nerdy kids. And I'll just shout them out now, JP and Sanford. And they were PC gamer guys. And they got me really into PC gaming. First with like sitting at one computer playing, like taking turns playing Command & Conquer or a TBS, I've always talked about Heroes of Might and Magic is maybe one of my favorite games ever made. If I come to that all-time episode, I will be talking about Heroes of Might and Magic. If they don't make that game for like iPad or something soon, I'm going to blow I guess stop threatening suicide on this podcast.
I know, it's getting close. Now there's two things working against you.
We got to put a trigger warning on this episode and on the trigger of the gun on my desk.
you come back. We'll talk Heroes of Might and Magic sometime, and Heather and Matt will sit by mutely and just sulk.
No. Yeah, I'll try to talk.
I feel like it'll be like trying to show my little brother like a Phil Hartman sketch too, in that I'll be it's really cool. And it's like, wait, it moves this slow and this is the animation and you're making monks that are your ranged warriors. And it's like, okay, shut up, kid. Leave me alone. But I grew up playing those games, and JP and Sanford, mm-hmm. we got really into Warcraft when it first came out. Who you want me kill? Then we got really into StarCraft, Alive and Goliath Online. Then we got into Diablo. Shit, stay a while. Then we got into World of Warcraft. That one didn't stick as much. I did end up playing a lot of that when I was in my early 20s. But all these games stuck, and I've always loved... Yeah, Heroes of the Storm. I don't even like games that move that fast, but I fell in love with that game because of the IP was all Blizzard stuff. And I love their art. I love their... And having... like, you know, 20 years of history with that. I would say I'm 41 now. I probably have 29 years of history with the Blizzard games or something fucking crazy.
Wow.
Like whenever Warcraft 1 came out, which is upsetting now that I said that out loud.
Yeah, I mean, 1994, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, since I was 12. So about almost 30 years. And then... Weirdly, all these, and I've loved them all, and Diablo especially, because like you said, Weiger, I'm a big fantasy head and a big D&D head. I read a lot of fantasy novels. So swords and sorcery, might and magic, all that shit always works on me. So more than even StarCraft 2, which was a game I played thousands of hours of, I loved Diablo the most. And then Diablo 2, I think, was the one I played the most, because that was like in my junior high years, like probably, you know, around the same time as you, Wigs. I put hours into that game. But then I got into D3 a little bit, but it came out when I was like not in my gaming era. So I played it a little bit, but not too much. But over the pandemic, me and the aforementioned JP and Sanford, our nickname is the Nerd Herd, made by Joanne Gabrus, my mom. She named us that when we were 13. Kind of stuck.
Your mom, your biggest bully.
I'm the way I am for a reason, Apodaca. There's a reason I've given you a wedgie 6 out of the 7 times I ran into you this year. It's all me just recycling trauma. Bullshit rolls downhill. But over the pandemic, the Nerd Herd, we got into D3 again, and we started playing Diablo. It was like, yo, we should get on and play. And we started playing Diablo 3 with our phones on FaceTime audio. And so we like would have like 2.5 hour gaming sessions. They're on the East Coast, so it's perfect for me to play after one of the guys has kids. Like, they go to bed, I get on at like 6-ish.
Yeah,
I play until like 8-ish or 9-ish, and they're like going to sleep and all that. And then, so I... This is just a year ago. I put like another 60 hours into a Diablo game.
Wow.
So when Diablo 4 was announced, we're all on. And my biggest concern, and this is like one of the main things I want to talk about. My biggest concern was moving off of mouse and keyboard. I'm so adjusted to mouse and keyboard for gaming, and especially Diablo, which feels built for it.
Yeah.
I was so hesitant. I was like, this controller shit's going to bum me out. This controller shit's going to be whack. And boy, am I here to tell you, it is not. Controller works so much better than I imagined. Like, almost improves upon the game in a way.
100% agree. I mean, let's talk about that right now because it's in my notes. And they, you know, controller support was added in Diablo 3 for consoles, you know, but by necessity. They refined it a lot with the Reaper of Souls expansion came out that basically just fixed the game completely. It's a completely different game. It was a completely different game after that expansion. And that was where I got into, you know, I played on PC initially. I played the console version when Reaper of Souls came out, and I'd heard about some of this, and yeah, I actually preferred the controller version there. And here I did the same thing. I played it when I played Diablo 4 in the open beta. I played some with mouse and keyboard. I played some with controller. I was like, controller feels a little better. And with the retail release, same feeling. I prefer it with the controller. And I'm playing a necromancer, and that's a class that requires, like, you know, in theory, it's like positioning your cursor to cast curses and to send out debuffs and stuff, and like there's like a lot of but it works really well like if you're exploding corpses or whatever, you know, that's the sort of thing you do with mouse and keyboard, but it works really well with a controller, and I find it more like meditative and honestly just more fun. Matt, how have you been playing on PC as well?
Yeah,
but did you like have you fluctuated between the control schemes?
So yeah, I have a little bit, because when I was playing the beta, I was playing it exclusively on the PC, and I had never done mouse and keyboard gaming before, really. Not since, I mean, Disco Elysium, which was like its own sort of thing, but never played a Diablo with mouse and keyboard. And I didn't know. I had no idea that it felt that good, even. I was like, oh, clicking is just fun. Like, I like to click. It feels good. But then, since I've been playing on Steam Deck, I'm sort of used to the controller interface already, because it's like, you know, it's an Xbox controller basically on a screen. So I've been playing like that. And yesterday when I was doing a bulk of my playing, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna connect my Xbox controller and see how that feels. And that was incredible. It felt so good. It felt so great. I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever go back to the mouse and keyboard anymore. I the controller, I think, is because I mean I played it on Switch too, so I'm also, you know, Diablo 3 on Switch, so I'm used to controller interface anyway, but it felt so much better this time around.
Yeah, I toggled back and forth a few times, but I've largely landed on just playing exclusively with the controller. You know, it is. There are situations like if you're like socketing items or something, it's maybe that's a little easier to do something in your inventory screen with a mouse. Yeah. But if you just have a mouse at the ready, you can just do that real quick. But once I figured out how to map my skills, because this is part of the thing, you basically have five skills that you can use as hotkeys. That's what you're limited to. And once I figured out how to make those, you know, I'm playing a necromancer, so like decrepify, which is like a curse that that slows enemies. So like I have that on my L trigger, and then I have corpse explosion, which, you know, does exactly what it says, deals damage to enemies by exploding the corpses of slain enemies. I have that on my right trigger, and so like I kind of get into that, and then I've got my, you know, my other two attacks on my face buttons, and along with the it's not a roll, but there's like a dodge that's built in.
Yeah.
Which is something that's kind of brought over from Diablo 3. Once I figured out how to map everything out, I was like, this controls like a dream. And also just direct moving your character in that isometric, like, action RPG like perspective, it just feels right.
Yes, that is part of it. And I couldn't believe. And also, I'll be honest, like, PlayStation makes communication while you're playing easier, too. Mm. Like, it, like, streamlined it all. Like, it's really idiot-proof. Like, I'm just, like, talking into my controller to my two buddies on the East Coast as we just fucking play games. Like, fucking, it's, like, so simple and rad. And I could not believe, like, I couldn't articulate it the way you just did, Wikes, but what you're talking about, like, the moving around without having to click to run to something. Because the biggest thing, I used to play a rogue all the time, and we'll get into it when we talk D4. I do have a high 20s level rogue. And, you have to hold shift so you don't accidentally click and move your person towards the thing.
Right, right.
This control kind of improves on it in a fucking way. And again, the separation of church and state, of moving away from the device that I use for Zooming and writing and responding to lame emails that of commercial auditions, like getting off of this and getting over there and like getting on the controller. It feels like you're gaming. And then it's weirdly so easy to pick up items. I thought that would be weird, because a huge thing about Diablo, and that's why part of the thing that got me hooked originally, was like the slightly improving your tune, like with every item pickup, where you're like, oh, this has 3% movement speed instead of 2.8. Sick. Swap it out. Like that sort of fine tuning, like upgrades and I thought that picking up items would be difficult, and it's just so fucking easy. It's so smooth. I'm so proud of the people who ported this game, because I've never played it on console until this one, and I'm truly impressed.
Yeah, they you know what, the development team, the QA side, like everyone who just like figured out how to make this like as much a controller game as it is like a mouse and keyboard game. I mean, it's huge, and it makes it so much more approachable. I think that what you're just talking about, loot, because that's like the whole gameplay loop of these games, is just like you kill things, you find items, you pick them up. There's a few things they did here. That, you know, first off, the inventory, which they simplified for Diablo 3, you used to have to, like, you know, and Gabrus, you know this from the first two, you had to kind of Tetris block in, you know, oh, I've got this bow, this is going to take up 8 slots.
Yeah, well,
I gotta
figure out how to move. The pole arm is too long, I don't need to pick
exactly.
it up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I got to move a bunch of rings, and I got to stash something inside my Heradric cube, you know, like a lot of that was just inventory management. Here, it's completely been streamlined. Even more so than Diablo 3, which Diablo 3 had some half slots for smaller items. Here, like, everything just goes in the same size. Like, it doesn't matter. An amulet is the same size as a tower shield. That's one thing. There's an element of that I kind of miss that stuff, but also I know that it's just like that's just nostalgia, and actually it makes this a much easier
smoother
game to pick up and play to have. Exactly. A smoother experience. Another thing they do is they have just a stat that's just item power, which I think is great for people who want to play this game casually, because, like, if I don't want to pay attention to all the different, you know, plus the stats that we have, and like you were saying, an increase, a percentage increase to movement speed, and a critical chance increase, I can just see if this has greater item power than the thing I currently have equipped. And if so, if I swap it out, at least on the default difficulties, you're probably going to be fine.
Yeah, like
and
for your first 30 levels before you're specializing anything too, before you're like building around rapid fire or whatever, building around corpse explosion, like you could just, that's such an improvement. Like, oh, that's better. Like, the thing you love about Diablo is like, oh, blue is better than white, yellow is better than blue, and then
100%.
When you get to level 30, then you got to start reading it. Like, you're like, okay, let me find out what each of these things, and then, oh, it's like, oh, an orange is better than yellow. Sick. Okay, let's see what, and I've been fucking, you're right. That item power thing is very helpful when you're just like, especially because usually you wait till you town portal to like fuck your, to zhuzh your items. This, you can kind of do it on the fly. You're like, oh, these are better boots. Throw them on. Like I'll fight harder now.
Yeah. And on that note, like what they've done with item identification, and I don't know if this is a thing that got borrowed from, like, you know, Torchlight or Path of Exile, some of these other big action RPG franchises. I played a little bit of them, but none of them have quite hooked me in the same way that the Diablo franchise has. But the way item identification works, which is just you see the item on the play field and it just says what the item type is and a color. And then when you put in your inventory, it's automatically identified. But it still kind of has that feeling of discovery that you got back in like Diablo 2, and you used to have a tome of item identification scrolls that you would use to identify something in the field. They just cleverly like kind of remove two steps there, but still give you the same sort
still
of
gives
feedback.
You the like, oh shit, an amulet, and you're like, please let this be good, please let this go. And you just have to open your inventory rather than waiting for wah.
Yeah,
like, it's cool.
And it's such a simple thing, and it like I'm like as I was playing, I was like, oh, I can't believe this is so simple, but this works in the same way.
Yeah, it's just so fun to see bow. You're like, shit, yes, I use a bow. Oh, it's not much better than my bow. Yeah, like you're right. I didn't even think about that. That really has the moving losing the identify scroll is huge.
Yeah, because there was like Diablo 3, I'm trying to remember, you played it more recently than me, but there is like still an identify items thing you do in your inventory, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There's a scroll
there's
of
still, there's still an extra step.
Yeah.
But you just have an infinite supply. So I mean, I love that. And I also like the other thing they tweaked is the, well, they've tweaked a lot, but like the way potions work now, which is that basically you have a, you have a limited number of charges that you can refill based off of, you know, in certain situations, you'll get a refill of a potion will appear in the field. And then you can use that to replenish your stock. But it's not like you have an inventory or a belt that's full of a bunch of different potions or the Diablo 3 approach where you've got a bunch of like health orbs that spawn. It's kind of a happy medium that I think works pretty well. And then the other thing about potions that I'm sure the two of you have stumbled upon is that as you do more like side quests and optional dungeons and explore more of the map, you get what I think it's called renown. I forget whatever the fuck yes. it is, but there's something you get in your map. Eventually, that gives you like bonus skill points that apply to all your characters and bonus potion charges that apply to all your characters. So it's just a way of like, hey, once you've seen everything with one character, you kind of can shorten some steps with the next characters that you roll. I don't know. All that stuff I know it's all intensely thought out. I know there's so many decisions that have to be made in the development process, but that they did so many tweaks to the core formula while still retaining its essence. I don't know. I mean,
The shit you're talking about with the renown, they pulled in some more like classic RPG stuff of like you get points for opening a waypoint, like as you discover you get some renown points, as you do a thing, as you complete quests in addition to experience, like, and I think that's a really fun because it changes the grinding.
Yes.
And it's not just like go to a dungeon and run. You can just keep doing dungeons. These dungeons give you aspects now. So like there's like a new way to grind and like side quest grinding. And I think they're not the shrines, but the little like, you know, sort of like prevent these guys from making the blood orb happen or whatever. Yes, those little like those little like accidental instances you could like stumble upon events, and the cellars. Yeah. Like, yeah, events, like, that's all such a fun way to add, to have, like, narrative grinding in a way. Like, it's like, okay, I'm getting murked on this by this fucking boss. Let me just go wander around, discover, oh, help so-and-so find their husband. Oh, go clear out this basement.
Yeah.
Oh, do this. And, like, do a few things. You get some experience. You maybe get a cool item. You learn a new skill or whatever. I think the skill tree is a very fun improvement and it's interesting. It's like stressful in a way because it used to just be like maximize this, get to this, game over, you know, get to the big R2 attack or whatever and you're ready to fucking go. I enjoy this skill tree a lot and I'm like, I feel like I've respec'd like 7 times with my character and I love that it costs money, which keeps, because money loses... Gold loses power in Diablo eventually because you're just like,
for sure, yeah.
I can sell items for 18 grand instead of salvaging them or whatever.
Yeah.
But I like that money, like it leaves money to be kind of like have some skill. Like, oh shit, this ring, like I just got a ring that makes rapid fire ricochet 33% of the time or something. And that's fucking awesome. An orange ring, socketed too. I don't want to get too into it, but I'm super stoked about
there
it.
There you go.
So getting that, I'm like, oh, I didn't have rapid fire. I'm like, let me drop several hundred gold, nuke all these stats, juice all these stats. And then you're like, oh, this is a fun, I'm playing like a different game now. Normally you just like build your items around your loadout. Like you build your loadout around your skills. Now it's kind of fun where it's like, oh, I'll just respec all this to try this item. Like, oh, cool. Let me. And then in the tree are like random passive stuff too. I will just cop to one thing I said with this game was I'm not going to allow myself to like read about it a bunch until I've played many hours. So as I'm talking to you now, I have like, 2 high level 20 characters because I have one guy that I only play with those friends. Like that's our rule. You can have as many, like I have a level 10 barbarian to mess with. And then I have a level like 28 rogue that I play solo with. And I don't know what overpower means. I don't know what crowd control means. I don't know what lucky shot is. I don't know what like 9 things are in the game. And I'm not letting it stop me at all. I'm just like not building around it. I'm just like, okay, I just like sorted out vulnerable. Like, okay, got it. Like,
Yeah, like my build is kind of, you know, has a lot to do with like slowing enemies and then making them vulnerable. But that's basically all I know. Like, and I'm playing, but I'm playing on World Tier 2 Veteran, which is like the one step up difficulty.
Same
you
here.
Have to, I think, finish the game once. And I'm still doing fine. So I think part of it is like, yeah, a lot of that stuff starts to feel pretty granular when you're talking about like, a topaz. If you socket a topaz, it gives a percentage increase to critical strike for enemies that are in, you know, that are crowd controlled.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know what like, any of that means.
This is like too much going on. But like same approach as you is like, I don't need to investigate that stuff until I have one playthrough under my belt, and then I can see what I've been doing wrong in terms of building and outfitting my character.
You said we're playing World Tier 2 and it's not impossible.
I
think they got level scaling really right in this game right now. It feels like even when you're like someone who's like four levels below you rolls up, the bad guys, like, you know what I mean? Like the baddies become, they're always been like a little manageable. And oh, sorry. And then fighting bosses is a little bit more like stick and move than ever before. It used to just be like stand there, hit one, hit two, hit three, hit four, keep clicking. And then when right click. Oh, and then as soon as your skills reproc, drop them all again. But like with.
Yeah, it 100%. Yeah, it's just something to clear the fuck out because they got a big area to attack. And that was basically the extent of the strategy. You're just trying to just jam as much DPS on them as possible. I agree that there's some more, you know, these fights are, it's not like a Souls game, but there's a little bit more tactically you need to account for these fights. I just did a boss fight shortly before we started recording that involved you had an NPC character who was
shield?
There, who was fighting alongside you, who did a shield.
I did
you would hide
night?
Within a shield.
Yeah,
it's like, this is so satisfying. It's just that little element of like, I got to hide inside this guy's shield so I don't get nuked by this guy's huge attack is like, I don't know, just it just made it feel a little bit less like I was just clicking for a bit.
In addition to other new shit I like, I shouted out like the kind of RPG elements that they pull in with the renown that you spoke to. I also like amongst the character differentials, the class differentials is like the barbarian has weapon expertise. The rogue has like specialization. The little minor things that your each class gets. What does the necromancer have something special like
the
that?
Necromancer, Gabrus, I'm glad you asked. The necromancer has the Book of the Dead.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool. And I messed around with this a little bit, but it's like, it's basically, so you have skeletons, you have skeletal mages, and you have golems that you can all summon. And for each of them, you can choose basically what class you want them to be, or if you want to sacrifice them entirely, meaning you can't summon them, but you get some sort of buff to your character by virtue of excluding them. So like right now, I've like sacrificed golems. I don't have golems at all. And I just have skeletons and skeletal mages. And that's partly just for fun factor. I think it's fun to have like an army of like, you know, seven warriors, just seven skeletons that I'm leading around in a parade. Like that's just like a fun way to play the game. I don't know if it's the most effective or whatever, but like, you know, you can you can choose if you want to outfit them with swords or with shields or with reapers. You can choose to. Yeah, the mages, you can choose to have them be shadow mages or cold mages or like bone mages. So, you know, there's some and then golem, you can have a flesh golem. You can have the blood golem is the flesh golem. You can have a bone golem or an iron golem. So that there's all these decision points you get to make. And they're specific to the class beyond just the skill tree. So I do like that quite a bit. I don't know. I mean, like
it shakes up the gameplay. If you like make a new character, you're like, it's not just like, let me get the barbarian's best skill and play that. It's like, oh, weapon expertise. And it's like, I'm dual wielding one mace and one axe. And they're both slowly gaining levels. It's like, there's a lot of like variation amongst in a game that famously was fun, even though it was just like a stand and deliver or a point and click and a DPS kind of monster game. But I think that the cool little tweaks they're doing in between is a lot of fun, like for a huge improvement from on D4, I think.
Yeah, it's you know, I heard someone years ago told me that the Diablo 2, playing Diablo 2 is just constant rewards, which was kind of what you were saying earlier. And like, and I think what they've done here is it's just like you're still getting constant rewards, but you've got like all these different buckets the rewards are going into.
Right.
So there's just like a bunch of different things you're trying to improve at once. Matt, I feel like we went bulldozing you a little bit, but I want to get your take on how you, well, like what class you've been playing and how you feel about the game as you've been progressing through
it. So it's no secret. I love beams, right? I love beams.
Yes.
So I'm playing a sorcerer because in Diablo 3, my sorcerer had a killer beam, just an all-time great beam. There's no beam in this one. I don't got a beam.
What?
I got
toss it.
There's like I'm gonna fucking just throw my computer out the dang window. but I'm still playing a sorcerer and I'm really liking it. I'm liking the skills that I have. My unique mechanic is enchantments, so I can put a skill in either a skill tree slot, like, or you know, in an ability slot, or I can put it in a passive slot. So like if I have Blizzard or something, right, like as one of my skills, it'll just do it automatically in the passive slot, which is pretty cool.
The sorcerer yet, on your skill bar, like it'll just be like whenever Blizzard's ready, it'll just drop it in a fight without you controlling
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
In addition to whatever else you have there.
Precisely. Oh, that's I could have it in both too.
You can get it like reprocking like two different cooldowns going at once. Oh, that's cool.
So like that rocks. But I'm playing a mixed magic sorcerer right now. So he's got a little bit of everything. But my favorite ability right now is called Inferno, and I thought that was just gonna be like a big fire. It's not. It's a fucking huge fire snake, and the snake wraps around like whoever's nearby and just burns the shit out of him. It rocks.
That's pretty fucking cool.
It's really cool. But I was interested in, because I played the sorcerer in the beta and stuff. I didn't really mess with any of their characters. I've never really done multiple characters in a Diablo game before, but I got curious about the druid class the other day, because I've played druids in D&D, and they're complicated characters to play. There's just a lot of, I felt like everybody that I would play with was like, maybe you shouldn't do that because you don't really understand the rules. like I was the one in the party that would like just always be like, so wait, how many dice do I roll? Which dice? What are you talking about? But then
I shapeshift. You can't. You have to wait a day and rememorize.
You can't even do that yet, dude. You know, but if there was time to make jokes, I was doing that certainly. But I wanted to play try the druid class. So I started a druid character yesterday and immediately was like, do I just fucking leave my sorcerer and just keep with this guy? Cause he rocks.
I have a level 25 druid as well.
I my first ability is like a ground quake thing where you can just make the ground like shoot up from under an enemy and attack them. I was like, well, this feels incredible. I loved that.
Wait till you get to level 15 and get like the wolves. You get like two ghost wolves that follow you around that you could sick on. They do they do manual damage on their own, but then you can hit the fucking try and then they jump on someone and start shredding.
Okay. I might have to put some more time in with the druid because I was also just liking the vibe of the character. He looked really cool. I was like, okay, like he's got like this fucking like fur, like he's rocking a fur or something. I was like, this guy's my guy. And I know you can be like, I've seen people in the hub world, not in the hub world, but like in the you know, when you're walking around in the play area, I'll call it, like change into bears and stuff. And I was like, that seems like it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the wear shit's pretty rad.
Yeah.
I have a high level, level 20 something rogue and a level 20 something druid, and they look like me and Tiffany. And I posted on Instagram, like, when the characters start to look familiar, and everyone thought it was the Doughboys. And I was like, oh, yeah. One of them has like shoulder length blonde hair and a mask on, and the other one is a giant bearded guy and like antlers. And I'm like, everyone's like, no, the Doughboys. And I was like, oh, shit. And then I, I got like weirded out about, oh yeah, I guess me and Tiff do look like Nick and Mitch, which is upsetting.
It's weird for us too. I can talk to Mitch about this. Yeah, I did make me, and Natalie helped me make me in the character creator for my Necro. And it's you know, you've got like, you can't only do so much. You've only got like 8 prefab faces that you can choose from or something like that.
Yeah.
For per body type. But you know, it's pretty flexible. She did, as we were going through and like we're looking at tattoos and piercings and stuff you could pick, she was like, a lot of these feel like cultural appropriation. I don't think you should be wearing it, should having any of these.
Was it easy for you because in general your default?
Yeah, I just hit the randomizer. I'm good to go.
Yeah, NBA Jam just NBA 2K just gives you Weiger to start with. You're like, okay, this fucking vanilla boy. I'll figure some shit out here.
I don't really like to mess with character creation that much because, like, I'll try to think what, you know, approximate how I look, and then my girlfriend, like, I did this in Street Fighter, and I was like, I made this like fucking big, huge guy, and I sort of like gave him like brown skin, and like that was it, kind of. And Isabel was like, that doesn't look anything like you. I was like, yeah, I know. He's like a fighter guy. It's like funny. That's like me if I was a Street Fighter. And she's like, I don't think so. No. So she was not as helpful as Natalie was in that regard.
Yeah. Sometimes when your partner's around, you're like, doesn't this look like me? And they're like, no, your neck is grosser or something. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
He doesn't look like he fucking stinks.
I don't need to analyze myself that much. Yeah.
But it is like, that does bring me to, like, you know, the, cause there, this game does have in-game purchases. The shop is like, I think, you know, it's kind of hidden slash ignorable, not hidden. I mean, they want you to go to the shop and buy platinum and buy, you know, buy aesthetic upgrades, but it is, as opposed to Diablo Immortal, it is purely cosmetic. It isn't anything that affects your character stats. Like Diablo Immortal, you could buy stuff from the store that just made your character broken, and there's nothing like that. It's just, I haven't bought anything, but I just looked around a little bit. It's basically just armor sets and you
looks,
know, mount
right?
upgrades and stuff. Exactly. Yeah. Purely cosmetic.
Which is something you could also get from salvaging and transmogs and stuff like that. So, which I think that's cool too, that it's like a shortcut rather than like a leap to the finish. Like you could grind out and get all the looks you want too, just by like fighting for yellow items and shit.
Yeah, I mean that look, that shit's just going to be in every game pretty much from now on. So there's the what are we going to do? But as integrated, I think it's whatever. It's as unobjectionable as this can be. And I do think the game looks fucking great.
Bro, that was going to be the next point I wanted to present. I think the art is on fucking fire. This game makes me want to get a bigger monitor. Yeah. It's hurting my eyes because the writing and stuff is so small. And like, I think I need a bigger screen because the art is so rich. The backgrounds have like movement, and the load speed that the I keep calling them boards. I know I'm 41. Sorry. the stages, the instances load in such a great way where I do get some lag every once in a while. Obviously, your producer is familiar with my shitty Wi-Fi. I live in West Hollywood where everyone's Wi-Fi sucks for some reason. But the art is fucking awesome. And I never really been a fan of like the Diablo, the world that exists in, like the kind of like Christian hell kind of stuff or like medieval hell aesthetic, but I think it's coming alive in this one. I think it's really rich. It gets a little redundant previously, but I think these boards, like I did that cave with the guy who protects you in the fucking shield that you were just talking about, Weiger, that had like the fucking tentacles moving outside of the fucking path and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I love,
and just like corpses of giants that are just like strewn about. Yeah.
So much rad shit. Bad guys look cool. They're like their articulation on the bad guys looks fucking awesome. The bosses of course look great. Have you guys gotten murked by the butcher yet?
No, I didn't fight. I didn't face the butcher yet. I've heard he's scary as shit.
He just pops up. He's like randomly in the world. The butcher will appear and fucking kill you just for like nostalgia. It's pretty fun that he like is still out there. And
it's like a Diablo 1 boss.
Yeah.
From way back. Yeah.
And I think you're supposed to like get your level up to the point where when the butcher comes, you get to kill him and get probably some dope item. You're just like, hope he comes.
There's like a guy in, Matt, do you remember who that guy was from Yakuza 0? who just appears. It's a name like something like Mr. Showtime or something like that.
Oh.
But he's just a big guy who chases you around and beats you up. And then at a certain point, you reach a point where you could beat him up and like take. But he just takes all your
money. Mr. Shakedown.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like the same sort of approach to Mr. Shakedown. I like what you're just talking about. So we finished the same dungeon, and I was a higher level. But like you talked about the level scaling earlier. I'm normally kind of lukewarm about level scaling because I like to feel like you're making progress as you're going through the world. But for this particular game, it works really well because you can go in different directions. And like I just finished Act 1 after having done the bulk of Act 2 already. You can go very, very out of sequence here. It's not like there's these discrete act breaks like in past Diablos. And so, like, when you're going back to, like, the early areas, but then all of a sudden, you know, all of the ghouls that you're fighting are your level, your character level, it makes that still engaging. It's not just encounters you want to sprint past as you might in past games. Yeah, I think it's all really, really well implemented. And what you were just talking about with the art, it's a much grimier direction than Diablo 3. Maybe some people have criticized kind of an overreaction to Diablo 3, but I like it. I've always liked the Diablo aesthetic, but that just takes me back to, like, you know, liking metal in middle school.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
like liking like a Pusshead album cover and being like, hell yeah, you know, that's what Diablo reminds me of. And so like, it's like, I like that grime. I like how it's bloody and gory and kind of Christian-esque. But you talked about having like a bigger monitor. I have a widescreen monitor. Oh. I have like a 5120 by 1440 display. It's a big wide boy. And this, you know, it supports that resolution. It looks fucking great. Ooh. So, you know, not to tempt you to another big purchase, but like I love having a widescreen monitor for this game in particular.
All I need to do is respond to one of these commercial audition emails and nail it, and then I'll be ready to get a fucking big monitor.
That's that
baby.
Easy. You gotta do one email.
I just need Athletic Greens to fucking double up their fucking ads on High and Mighty, and then I'm made in the shade.
We're kind of just raving about this game, but I think, I don't know. My expectations were a little mid. I was a little wary because the Diablo 3 launch was spotty, and I thought like, oh, okay, this might be another one where it takes a few patches and some DLC to figure out how this game actually works. Diablo Immortal was obviously a huge whiff, and the other big one is Vampire Survivors, which I can't remember if you played that, Gabriel.
Oh, that I should have mentioned that in like what I've been playing lately. I fucking played the hell out of Vampire Survivors this pandy.
I love Vampire Survivors, and I was worried it was going to ruin me for Diablo because it's basically like a more passive Diablo that you can just sort of chill out and just, you know, just walk around in basically. And I was like, is this like kind of a reductionist approach to the formula made it so that like I just kind of can see the seams and I don't even need to play the actual game? But playing this, I've been like, no, this is still fucking great. I can enjoy both. I'm just really impressed by it overall.
I love the Diablo cliche that anytime you're talking to someone, they can drop to their knees and go, oh no, oh no, and just become like a demon.
Yeah.
It's such a go-to. It's like whoever you're talking to, they're just like, oh no, not now. And it gets the ellipses in the writing of like, oh, and then it's just that like bubble sound effect that it makes as he converts to like a what must be a 26-foot pig man with a big scythe or whatever. It fucking rules.
Yes. There's an early-ish, I'll just semi-spoil it because it's a side quest. And it's early-ish, but I'm not sure if either you got to this, where there's a shackled prisoner, and he's like, my eyes, they took my eyes.
Yeah.
And he's talking about that there's like a demon who took his eyes, but he can see what his eyes see, and he sees that like she's over there like tormenting a whole village. So you go over there and you go through this whole quest. You have to like take over one of the I can't remember what it's called, like siege sites or something like that. Strongholds. Yeah, you take over the stronghold and then you come back to him and you bring him his eyes back. And he says like, oh, I'll put him back in my head. And he puts him back in my head. And he's just like, it burns. And then runs away and like explodes. I was like, Jesus Christ. Fucking horrible.
I helped. This guy was better off before I helped.
Yeah. There's another one where it's like, it's just such a Diablo thing of just, it's so fucking grim that even when you finish a quest, a lot of time, all you've given someone is closure. Right. And just like, you know, like help me find my husband. And you find them and they've like been crucified and like been pecked apart by crows. Yeah. And you're like, well, at least now I can bury the dead. You know, it's just like, Jesus Christ.
I can ruin this lady's day in a second way.
Yeah. Along those lines, a quest I just did was really funny. It was like, you like helped her find her husband. And her husband was just like shackled with a fucking dagger in his chest, dead, like, help me, and dies. And then she's like, I don't think you expect payment. You can have the dagger. And then you pull it out and he's like, oh, la, 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 yeah. And you're like, I didn't want it that bad.
This dagger sucks. I'm going to salvage it.
We, just the one thing we haven't talked about, I've always played a little multiplayer. This one is, you're always online in this, which is kind of interesting, a new take. I never played, is D3 always online? I feel like you could.
Yeah, Diablo 3, that was like, it came out long enough where there was a huge backlash to that before launch. It was like, I can't believe I have to be always online to play this game. And now that's like, you
that's
know,
like
most
a given,
games.
Yeah, like, yeah. But I would say the multiplayer really enriches the game a lot too. It like, the game is built for it, obviously, because like with the skills like slow and vulnerable, that's like you could be focused on that and be a great addition to a party, you know, like I think it really is conducive to fun in that way. And it's super easy communicating. I've never been a talking while playing guy. Like that's like that's something that's new. I've always just been playing RTSs with like pinging and shit like that. And that was always enough. I didn't want dialogue because I don't want stranger dialogue for sure.
No.
But with like fucking like when hopefully I'll get to fucking party up, squat up with you freaks.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then we could all be fucking talking. And I've just been me and my buddies have just been on chat gushing about the fucking game, just being like, shit, I can't believe this mechanic works. Oh, the gems are, and like all the stuff, the dumb stuff you love about the game, like they've just kept it enough of like the gem increase, like keep the, and then sharing a stash across your characters. That's a really fun fucking mechanic too, of like, shit, I'll drop this ring for my a rogue when my rogue gets higher level. Like there's like a little bit of like, you can, It promotes playing other characters for like the first time in a way too. I feel like of like, oh shit, yeah, I'll throw another guy on there. Leave the axe in there. I'll make a barbarian just to fucking play with this axe eventually.
But that's like kind of the best thing about it too. Like a game like this where you could spend hours and hours and hours in it, like playing just different characters, because like the campaigns aren't like terribly long. Like they're not like it's. I mean, it's not like Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I'm not going to be playing this for 100 hours, probably, but, like, I could be playing multiple characters. Like, I'm playing the game for the same amount of time, but, like, I'm doing a completely different thing every time. That's, like, that's so incredible.
I recommend people, if they have friends, to if you have friends, if listeners of this podcast have friends, all right, never mind.
They probably, yeah.
But if you have friends, it's fun to be like, oh, I play this character with this group. I play this tune with these, like, like level 5 and only grow together and be like, all right, this druid, like I have a druid that's just for with my friends. And that's like kind of fun that I can, you can, and then maybe I'll do that with some of my comedy friends who are on D4 and some of my other friends who are on D4, have a different, and then you get to play like a multiple different types of gameplay. And I think that's like a fun way to go about it.
Yeah. 100. That's great advice to segment it like that. Yeah. I've only played solo so far. I got to play some, I wish I could speak to the multiplayer component a little bit more. You do see a lot of just randos that you run around, particularly in some of the instanced world events, but which I don't know. I'm kind of, I think I overall like it. I think it making the world feel more populated, even though it doesn't really make sense in the context of the quest you're doing. I still kind of like it.
It's really funny when you're like getting absolutely murked by a bunch of fucking baddies and there's like a dude standing there with like ice armor on, not helping at all. You're like, come on, man. Yeah. Just fucking throw one lightning bolt over here or some shit.
I was going to say, yeah, I like seeing a stranger sort of doing the same thing I'm doing and being like, we're friends now. I'm playing with this guy. I've squatted up with some of the Get Played listeners in our Discord, and I loved it. A couple of us took down a boss together, and I was like, this is everything. It was so fun. It was just so great. And then getting in the chat being like, that was awesome. We did great. Everyone's doing good. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm having a blast of this game so far. We'll see where I am after I finish this playthrough if I roll more characters, if I do any of the kind of post game content. We'll see. But as of right now, it's doing exactly what I wanted from it from a Diablo game released in this year.
Hell yeah,
good game.
Great fun. What a dang hoot.
Yeah, my wife has dinner plans tonight. I have a show at 10. I feel like that's a perfect gap to kill a couple of hours fucking stamping on skeletons and killing Moon Clan goat men and whatever the fuck else they throw at me.
Well, on that note, hey, how about we do a segment?
I'm going to see if Nick and Gabers can determine which of these monsters is real or fake. It's time to find out in the bestiary.
Ooh. These are monsters. These are Diablo-specific monsters?
These are Diablo-specific monsters. Some of them are real, and some of them are fake. Let's see if y'all know your stuff. Here we go. Frog demon.
Frog demon?
Did you say brog or frog?
Frog demon.
Frog. Like the amphibian. Ribbon.
Fake. Wait, what's the choices? Fake or real?
Fake or real.
They're all real. But in the game Diablo 4, there is no frog demons. But there are frog demons in my sleep.
I would say...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of... I'm going to say fake. I think this one doesn't do this.
It's real. I'm not... It's in... I think they're in Diablo 3. These are from all of Diablo.
Oh, okay.
I would have gotten that then. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so
right, well, now you tell me. Okay, great.
So no points there. Next one. Giant mosquito.
That's real.
That's real. Great foley on those boys.
Okay, that is a real one. How about this? Skeleton King.
There's so many skeletons.
Yeah, I think there is a Skeleton King boss in 2 or 3. I'm going to say real.
Nick says real. Gabrus?
Oh, we both have to vote. I thought he like buzzed in. Real also.
You're both wrong. It's fake. I made that shit up.
No
There's
way.
There's no skeleton.
There's
skeleton
no skeleton
mage, skeletal archer, skeletal captain. There's like a skeleton everything. There's Jack Skellington, and he's a tattoo on like this goth chick's butt. Rules.
Sorry.
Skeleton King is a boss in Diablo 3. What are you talking about? He turns out to King Leoric. I just looked it up. He's the first boss at the end of Act 1. That's why I remembered it.
I thought I made it up.
The fix. I mean, if that's the length you went for creativity, it's like, oh, I got to come up with a monster they'll never hear of. Skeleton something.
Well, I wanted it to sound real.
Okay.
That's the challenge. I'll say it's a boss, not a minion, not a monster in the world. So I think I'll still
give you both the point, because guess what? I fucked up.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you.
How about the next
one? I'll take that point. I need it.
Sasquatch.
I don't think there's a Sasquatch in the Diablos. Fake.
Fake.
Now I'm Googling these. It's real!
Where's their Sasquatch?
He's in Act 5 in Diablo 3. He's in there. Yeah, that's right.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's named Silverback in the game. It's a variant of the Yeti. Encountered only on Gray Hollow Island Zone of Adventure Mode in Act 5.
Okay, so
now I'm
going to
close the Diablo wiki so I can keep playing.
Yeah, it's interesting that you also have Google over there.
I'm trying to remember what Act 5 of Diablo 3 was.
No recollection.
Is that the one where you go into you go into heaven, or is that Act 4?
I the thing about these games, any of it, any story point, couldn't tell you. I'm just clicking. I'm just there clicking and picking stuff up.
Are you?
I just remember like biome. So there's a point where you go into like the sanctuary, but like the pandemonium, whatever.
Yeah,
like
yeah. You go into alternate
you're up there
dimension.
With all the fallen angels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. It's a game that you can play with exclusively skipping cutscenes and still enjoy.
Yeah,
but I will play it through, and we'll watch them all in honor of the designers, because it is the art and voice work is fantastic.
We didn't talk about the cinematics here, but I think the major cinematics, the pre-rendered ones, are all really well done. But also all the in-game stuff. I mean, they did a lot more work in terms of making the in-game cutscenes, the in-engine cutscenes feel cinematic, changing the camera angle from isometric. There's like look at points you can get to, or like you go to like a low angle and you see more of the world. That like all that stuff, I think, is I think it was maybe like, okay, let's see how this works the first time I encountered it. But as I was going, it's like, oh yeah, this makes this feel like it has like kind of a AAA game presentation in terms of the story side of it.
Can we get back to my game now?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we got room for tangents, right?
Yes. Okay. Lightly Google two words, and we'll say fake or real. Sick fucking game.
Okay, here we go.
Mitochondria.
those are real. Bone fetish.
I think it's real.
I know it's a real. My doctor says I have it.
Okay, that one is real. This game's
the skeleton
up.
King gave me a bone fetish, if you know what I mean.
Swamp demon.
Fake.
I'm going to say that's fake.
Okay, you guys are really good at this game. It's tied up. That's fake. Frozen ghoul.
That's real.
I think there is a frozen ghoul. That's real.
That one's fake.
Oh,
wow, he got us.
Thank you. That was all right, is that all you were trying to do? We're done now?
I just wanted to make you guys look like fucking idiots.
There's so many ice enemies. There's so many, because like you start in an ice biome in this game.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's like the, you know, like the Act 5 of Diablo 2 is all ice. So much of Diablo 3 is ice. There's just so much ice. I was like, I feel like there was an ice ghoul in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's a classic variation. You get like, you start getting ghoul, then you get like shadow ghoul, fire ghoul. Like, you know, like
right.
They do like... tinted red and it's a fire ghoul. Yeah. Tinted blue and it's that. Like, I do think that's another cool element. Like when a bad guy becomes vulnerable, they get like a little purple light. Like there's like some mm-hmm. light art changes that never yes. previously existed, which is kind of fun.
Just a couple more here. Ghastly Gravedigger.
Ooh. That's the monster truck Digger. That runs over Deckard Cain, and you have to get yeah. revenge. Grave Digger! Sunday, 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 only in Herodrum.
I remember Bigfoot was like the bit, like, It was kind of the equivalent of like there was Hulk Hogan and then like the Ultimate Warrior came about. I feel like it was the same thing with Bigfoot and Gravedigger.
Yeah.
It was like Gravedigger came about and it was like, that's the cool one.
When I went to Gen Con this past year, they had Bigfoot in the convention because there's like a Bigfoot
wow.
board game. And I'm sure there's like 9 Bigfoots just, you know, like that are traveling around the
sure.
world. But it was pretty rad. Like, and I guess there was dozens of 40-something-year-old men there who were like, whoa, Bigfoot. Like everyone just taking like the Mitch thumbs up photo in front of it. Like.
It's real to me.
All right, so what was the name
Ghastly
of it again? Ghastly Gravedigger.
Fake.
I'll guess real.
Nick's right, so now it's 5-4.
Oh. Do you have which game that's from?
I don't, not in front of me. I just wrote down a bunch. Ghastly, I'm going to say it's from, actually, I think it's from this new one, I think, from Diablo 4.
Oh, wow.
I got a mix going in here. The final one. Dark Magician.
I think you're supposed to call them just magicians, dude. Like, I don't think their complexion should come into it at
you're
all.
Right.
That's
you're
me
right.
personally.
No.
Big ally over here.
Yeah, that's... I don't know about you, but I'm an ally.
I don't know about you, but I've been I got the woke mind virus. I'm sick too, bro. Got the woke mind virus, dog.
Doctor said it's terminal.
I said, Doc, I got the woke mind virus. What does that mean? It's like, you just give a shit about other people.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
And
oh,
I know
God
what you're
forbid.
Thinking. The doctor was a woman.
I'm going to guess the Dark Magician is fake.
I'm going to go with fake as well.
It is fake. I made it up. But Nick's our winner of wow. the bestiary.
Wow.
Greatest honor of my fucking life. Hey, that's this week's Get Played. Links to our social media in the episode description. Our engineering is by Alex Gonzalez, Dead Air Alex G on Twitter and Instagram. Also check out Get Animated, where we're continuing The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, which is on Stitcher Premium or at patreon.com/getplayed. John Gabris, such a treat to have you on. Everyone should listen to High and Mighty. Everyone should check out Action Boys on Patreon with a Z. I don't know if I fucking... I have a Patreon. I should know how to say it.
I think people
Action
know.
Boys on Patreon. Action Boys with a Z. I've said this before when you've been on the pod. I've said this in other contexts. I just was touring with our mutual friend and mutual janitor, Tammy Sager, who's also an Action Boys fan. It's just like, I just think it's the funniest podcast.
Oh, thank-
so like, if you want to listen to a funny show, check it out. It's so great.
It's a podcaster's podcast, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you, Weiger. You always gas us up, and when funny people find our show funny, it means a lot. Like, that's all we're going for. We're talking about stuff we love and trying to be funny, like trying really hard to be funny. Too hard. It's embarrassing. But I appreciate you giving us a shout out. Yeah, and we have some free episodes of Action Boys. You can hunt them down. There's like a free feed called Unlocked and Loaded. If you're like want to just get a sniff and get hooked, you know, like we'll give you the first taste for free, baby.
Hell yeah.
And High and Mighty, I have guessed it on a few times. Matt, you've guessed
that's
it on
right.
High and Mighty.
Talking about Weezer.
And so, and Heather has been on. Heather was a guest way back in the day, and we talked video games. And I didn't even really know her then. I was just a fan. Like, wow. I wasn't really friends with her. I just reached out and had Heather Ann Campbell over my house, you know, like, come to my apartment and talk about video games with me, a guy you met at backstage at UCB.
In all fairness, I don't know if Matt and I know Heather all that well either.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I thought you guys would find it funny that she was in my house. Yeah. Like, Weiger, I've traveled the country with, and I'm still not, never seen the inside of his fucking house. Not trying to.
Gabers, anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, check out 101 Places to Party Before You Die now on Max. And if you're an Emmy voter, it is up for nomination. So for your consideration, you know, I don't think True TV or Zaslav or anyone in that fucked up conglomerate of cluster fucks is going to be putting any marketing money behind it, because I don't think we're going to get a second season via them. So I do love all this like anti-Zaslav shit that's out in the like coming out in the press. Like, that's exciting for a guy who personally blamed him for losing a second season of The Dream Job.
Yeah.
So like, I'm stoked that people are on to this fuck. I'm glad he made $200 million last year and the job that was the hardest I've ever worked on anything and creatively input in my life is just, you know, toast. But I'm glad he got his $200 million in a BU speech or whatever. Rock and roll, brother.
The funniest thing on earth was watching him get booed. It's so funny.
Oh my God, I love it. So gratifying.
It
should have thrown Zaslav into that quiz.
Oh, yes.
He's the level 4 blob boss.
That one's real.
He drops 200 million gold pieces when you kill him.
Yeah, he's the fucking treasure goblin.
God, we've only run into one treasure goblin, but he escaped me. I haven't killed a treasure goblin
every time
yet.
I see the treasure goblin, I love him. Gabrus, I have to say, I've watched that show. I watched 101 Places to Party Before You Die. It's incredible. I loved it so much.
Super funny.
Thanks, guys.
I recommended it to people who don't like know my comedy friends either, and they're like just like big fans of it also. So like, it's such a great, such a cool, unique show, first of all, and also cool to see your funny friends on TV be funny the way that they're funny and not watered down in a TV way, which was
I appreciate
incredible.
That. Me and Adam Pally, we wanted to bring like podcast energy to TV.
Yes.
Where we were like raw. It's the most authentic on camera I've ever been, I think. Like, we're so ourselves in like such a way that is either for good or for bad, depending on what you think about it. Well, you might not like us, which is completely reasonable, but if you like us at all, it is us. Like, and if you dislike us, that's it too. Like, that we're not, you know, we're I feel good about it. No imposter syndrome for the first time in my life.
Hell yeah.
Feels good.
Wow. Thanks so much for making time for us, Gabrus. And I won't say it to you, I'll say it to Zaslav. Zaslav, you, sir, got played.
Yeah.
Shit.